This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your local agent and good neighbour. Alicia has got you covered with personalised service and reliable coverage for all your insurance needs. Call or stop by her office on Hart Street in Buffalo and see how she can help you save and protect what matters most to you. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
All right, it's 6 o'clock. We'll call the meeting to order.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know, you've got to flip my gun to it. And then, next up, the board and the district would just like to thank all the veterans out there in our community. All the service and the time that these people have put in to make sure we stay free is greatly appreciated. It's Veterans Day, and a sincere thank you to everybody who ever wore the uniform.
That's right.
Okay, roll call. Good to go. Oath of office for our newly elected board members.
Could you like to come up in the center?
Please.
Right in the center, absolutely. So we invite all the new board members to the center, please.
Does Lynette take her pen?
Yeah, she's new.
I'm new.
When you're done, will you give your paper?
Yes.
Congratulations. You can share it, and you guys can read it together.
Yeah, good.
We can't say each other's names.
What if we say each other's names? Let us group up here just a little bit.
Come on, Daniel.
Oh, okay. Can I run you over?
Just a tow. It'll only be a minute.
Does he have it? Okay.
Okay. So raise your hands and repeat after me. I state your name.
Reed Davidson.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, the state of Wyoming, and the Johnson County School District number one policies, that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity, that I have not knowingly violated any law of the state of Wyoming related to my election or appointment, or caused it to be done by others, and that I will faithfully execute the duties of my office as a member of the governing body
to the best of my ability.
You guys got it. Thank you.
Yeah, we stand up.
Congratulations, and thank you guys for your service. Thank you guys. All right. Early graduation students. So next up, Mr. Superintendent.
So I will. So we'll start with Dr. Hansen and New West.
I didn't realize you had any. So we've got one student graduating early. You will notice if you looked at your report earlier, there was two listed. We managed to convince one young man that there was more to be gained by hanging out with us for one more semester. So that young man's going to hang out with us. But I would like to introduce to you Mr. TJ Moe. TJ has been with us since January of last year. So he's been at New West for a total of a year. And during that time, he's done excellent work. I've known TJ for a little bit because he was just down the hill from me. But also got to watch him grow up some. But it's been great to get to know him in the capacity of a student at New West. And I promised that he wouldn't have to do too much talking, but I will let him talk about what his plans are.
So for my plans after high school, I want to get straight into HVAC. And for what I'm kind of looking at is I want to do like hands-on experience first. And if I want to specialize in anything, then I'll go to trade school. But as of right now, I'm kind of just looking at my options to see what I have going for me.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Very good. Questions from the board?
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So next, Gib, you want to introduce yours?
You bet.
Okay.
So you've met a number of our early grads at a previous meeting. We do tonight have Sam Solnes, who has met all of the requirements for graduation from Buffalo High School.
I'm Sam. Sorry for my late application. I was figuring out with the curriculum. I was trying to feel get into the swing of things. But the staff excites me so much. I get into the curriculum more than what I'm just being taught initially. And I guess I learn more than what I'm supposed to, and then I'm being taught what I already know, and I find that hard to kind of engage and stay engaged because I already know all the stuff. I'm so excited I do that ahead of time. So I'm trying to graduate early so I can nervous, sorry.
It's okay.
Much more eloquent in my written letters. But basically,
Sam, what are your plans?
My plans? Okay, sorry. I want to go to Embry-Riddle Flight School, which is the most prestigious flight school in the United States. It's in Prescott, Arizona. It is a $196,000 tuition, not tuition, education. So I'm trying to get as much funding and work hours in before I go there because my family isn't going to really be able to help me. They make okay income, so I'm not going to qualify for the scholarships for low income, but they're in debt. Which is something I've been working on with Ms. Kennedy. She talked about cash stuffing budgeting, and I have an extensive budget that I've been working on to go ahead and try to meet my tuition and whatnot. Want to fly for American Airlines. I think it's going to be really fun. I have a plan on how to get there. I already applied, got 30 on my ACT, so I hope that works out.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, as a board of trustees, we had an early graduate from KC that was earlier this year. So, we are at the end of the first semester, and so, Mr. Evans, I'll let you introduce.
All right. We came to you guys in September and asked for an early graduation for a young man, and at that time, you guys had granted that, but we visited about having him come back and visit a little bit about his future. And so I bring you Taylor Cleveland, and he's going to speak to you a little bit about his future.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Taylor Cleveland. I just want to first thank everybody I want to thank everybody in JCSD 1 for allowing me to graduate early. With this opportunity I've been given, I was able to enlist into the Army in mid-July. I will be shipping off for boot camp in December 30th, where I will be stationed in Italy as an airborne infantry. So I want to thank everybody in this room for allowing me to graduate early so I'll be able to serve my 3-year contract with the Army. Thank you. Any questions?
Maybe eventually, TJ, you'll get to flying there.
Principals, all of the requirements have been met. These students are eligible and ready for graduation.
At the end of the semester.
Yep. At the end of the semester, they will have been.
Yep.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
We now have VHS school.
Indeed.
So, Gib, you are up with your team.
Do you want to join?
I didn't. Stephen, if you don't mind navigating your way around. So, if you would start us just on the board report. So a couple of things coming your way. You are going to get two copies paper because sometimes I think it's just easier to follow along with something in front of you instead of on the screen.
I agree. You'll notice I read the swearing in.
Yeah. So I just want you to have it in front of you. thanks to Michelle for joining me. I appreciate her insight as well. So, in front of you, you've got a couple of documents. So just to let you know what they are, you've got, you have the report card, right? So this is the state's report card for Buffalo High School. You also have a copy of the school improvement plan, right? And so we're going to go through both of those things and a little bit more. All right. So, Stephen, if we can go maybe to the bottom, most of the stuff I want to go to is going to be linked at the bottom. And let's just start with the report card, if you would. Okay, so you can see on the front of the report card, we ended up yellow, right, which is partially proficient. I think it's important to understand why, right? Last year, we met expectations overall. This year, we're not quite meeting. We dropped in two areas. We dropped from blue to green in our graduation indicators, right? So a year ago, we were above expectations. This year, we dropped to meeting expectations. That drop caused us to go from overall green meeting expectations to not quite meeting expectations, right? So it wasn't a drop of an indicator into a, what is that called? Thank you. It wasn't a drop in an indicator to not meeting. It was a drop in two indicators from exceeding to meeting. That's what caused us to go from overall score of meeting to an overall score of not meeting. Okay? So I think that's important to recognize. So you can see on our report card, we have two areas in orange at the top, growth and equity. So our focus is now growth and equity. That's, and it has been, but we took time to address some things that we knew we could make a significant change in quickly when I arrived at Buffalo High School. So with the help of the whole staff, we moved indicators at the bottom, the grade 9 credits, the post-secondary readiness, the 4-year on-time graduation. We moved all of those indicators in the last 3 years, knowing that we have to get to growth and equity as well, right? So our focus now obviously is on that growth and equity stuff. Okay, so that's our school improvement plan is based on these indicators, right? So I think it's important that we just understand what we're going to talk about. Okay, so Stephen, if we could go back please to the board report and let's click on the score comparison.
I'll read your papers and just talk about yourselves for a moment.
Okay. So a year ago, you have three columns here, and you don't have this on paper. So in 2023, this was our score. All right. So that first column, a year ago when we got our score report card, that was the score. We set a goal, we do every year. You set a goal for those indicators for the following year. So our goal for 2024 is the middle column. What we achieved is the last column. So if it's in green, we actually exceeded our goal, right? We grew from our score in 2023. So from 2023 to 2024, we improved in that area, right? First one, the weighted average, 1.4 to a 1.6 this year. Achievement, we went from a 44. Our goal was a 46. We hit 53. So everything in green there, as you read across, those things all improved. That's good. That's really good stuff. We had one area that I just consider flat, right? 2023, extended graduation rate. Our score was an 87. We put a goal of an 88. It's a little harder to move. It's a lagging indicator. We stayed flat at 87. And then we look at achievement and growth, right? We actually went down in two areas. We had a 48.1 in achievement in 2023. We set a goal for 50. We ended up at 43.4. And in growth, we had a 43.4 last year. We set a goal for a 45. We ended up at 40.5, right? So we dropped down in two areas, but we grew or remained the same in one and all of those other areas. So in six areas, we met or exceeded the goal. In three areas, we improved but didn't meet our goal. One area, we remained flat. And in two areas, we didn't do as well as we should. Well, we didn't meet our goal, right? So I think that's important too. Over the course of the last year, we have set goals. In some cases, we exceeded the goal, but in a lot of cases, we grew. We got better. So,
yeah, okay. If I can ask real quick, what's achievement measured by?
So achievement is the based on YTOP, right? And it's the number of students who score proficient and above.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so Stephen, I've got to look at my little notes. Let's go to the school improvement plan. So now you have this in front of you again. There's a lot of information here. One of the things that I want you to recognize is the school improvement plan. Like Charles, I'm a huge fan of school improvement plan. I think we need a living document that guides our work that we can measure ourselves by. That's what a school improvement plan does. Regardless of how you're doing, I think you need a school improvement plan. So this is now our third year. It's the second year that we've done it formally, if you will. So as we go through the course of years, some elements of our school improvement plan doesn't change because we enacted those things, we brought them into to the school culture, climate, academics, whatever it is, and we just continue those things. And as we get new report cards, we look at how we're doing, and then we figure out what action steps we need to take in order to increase our achievement, if you will, right? Our overall score. So if we can just start scrolling, Stephen. The first two areas, keep on going. So we began, and this is actually old news to you, right? Our priority practice number one, we presented this document a year ago. So we worked on restructuring our calendar, our master schedule. We provide time during the contract day, common planning time. So we rebuilt the master schedule. We put that as a parameter when we run the master schedule that these things are essentially held sacred. We put all our social studies, they have to meet one period a day. They all have to have the same plan. So we do that for all our core areas. So math, social studies, science, and language arts. We're not at the point where we can also schedule all of our electives in the same time. We're just not there. The truth is the more bodies you have, the easier it becomes because you have other places to send kids, and we're just not at that point yet. So this is all stuff that we put in place 2 years ago. All right, Stephen, let's just keep on going. We'll get down to PLC model. We're in our second official year with this work. In year one, we focused on question one. And this year we're focusing on question two, which is all the alignment. It's the question is, how will you know when students know it, right? And that's all about assessment. So that's what we're focused on now. So you can see back in 2023, these are the things, well, we haven't went back as far as 2022 at Buffalo High School, but these are all the things that we brought into play at that time, right? All of this is really PLC work, and what I think is tremendously important is peer observation. So that's our last item there, where we just ask teachers every semester to go out, spend 20 minutes observing another teacher, and then have a conversation about what they see, right? About just great instructional practices, things that maybe those teachers can take back to their classroom and try. Great conversation. All right, so Stephen, let's go down to number two. Again, this stuff you saw a year ago, this is the same stuff that we did, right? So we're looking at assessment through collaborative team meetings. We're looking at peer-reviewed assessments, which means a math teacher brings their Algebra 1 test in front of the math department, and they sit down and they discuss that assessment because they all know Algebra 1, right? And so teachers get feedback on the assessments that they build. We're not here asking teachers to collaboratively build the assessment. We're asking them to review collaboratively an assessment and provide input. Two different things, okay? And again, we're still doing observations. I do have the offer to my teachers that if they would like to go to Sheridan or to Gillette or to Natrona to see somebody teaching chemistry, if they want some new ideas, I'll send them. Critically important to get out and see what others are doing. And then we ask teachers to come back and try something, right? Okay, so again, this is old. This is existing stuff, right? Again, back to August of 22. You can see down at the bottom of this, we have implemented some new things, including what we term as seconds, but we'll talk about that in a minute. We developed the math lab, the second to last row, math and English. We developed those things are ongoing, right? So there's nothing in this document that we've brought in and then kicked out yet. These are all things that are still in operation at Buffalo High School. All right, Stephen, let's go down to 3. So here's our new stuff, right? Here's how we're gonna get, we're gonna work on growth, equity, and achievement. So, systematic interventions and enrichment opportunities targeting achievement and growth areas as identified by multiple sources, right? Our report card is one of those things. The YTOP, we're using some literacy screeners now because we have the opportunity to have a literacy specialist and interventionist at Buffalo High School for the first time since I've been there. Phenomenal. We look at course grades, we run weekly DF lists, we look at missing assignment lists every day, and I'm sure we do some more stuff. We're doing this because we want to identify early where students need an intervention, right? We also need interventions to be systematic. They need to be built into the school day, right? It can't be an option, first of all, for students. We can't invite them. If it's important, they need to come and they need to do it. It's not an invitation, it's a requirement. So these targeted interventions. We have interventions multiple times a week. We'll get to how we structure those things. So let's go down, Stephen, to the action. All right, so we're gonna, this is like this year's list.
Yes.
This is a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So we have Sabina Damone with us halftime, right? And so she's doing this literacy screening and intervention. So she screened all of our students, and she identified the students that need the most help in literacy. And she now meets with those students. She has been meeting with them twice a week. We're upping that to 4 times. We're just working on the structure of that, but that's happening. We're at 3 right now. So we have that, and she's got targeted interventions for those students. We are doing our lunch intervention, and you've heard about that, right? And again, this lunch intervention, we run our missing assignment list every beginning of second period, every day. And the goal here is really, there's 2 goals to this. The first one is to get a better understanding of why a student doesn't do the work. We have to assume that if a teacher is assigning the work is important, right? If I'm going to assign it, the work is important. So why aren't students doing it? We know sometimes students just get busy. We know sometimes students just don't want to do the work. But as Chris Cox and I make the rounds every day to at least 4 different classrooms with 80 students total, right, 20 kids in a class, during lunch, the question is asked, do you know what you need to do? Yeah. Do you know how to do it? Yeah. Sometimes do you know what you need to do? I don't know. Well, then we sit down. We first of all show them how to find it in PowerSchool. But then we show them, because they all have control over this. And then we flip open our paper and we say, here's what you need right here. And sometimes we say, do you know what you need to do? Uh-huh. Do you know how to do it? Uh-uh. Now we have an academic intervention, entirely different. So a student doesn't do the work because they don't know how to do the work. It's really hard with 20, 24 students in a class for a teacher to stay on that every day, because the students are leaving with the presumption often that they're leaving, they didn't ask the question, everybody's good, they know what to do. And then they don't do it. And so we're catching those kids. And if they're sitting in a room with a social studies teacher for seconds, but they don't know what to do in science, we immediately connect them with a science teacher. Time to go learn what you need to do. So that's just the first one, or the second one, sorry. Advisory, so we've changed the structure of advisory. So we now have priority days, Math Monday, Science Tuesday, English Wednesday, Social Studies Thursday. And I may have the order wrong, but Monday through Thursday, there's a priority day. These are done by invitation. So if you didn't do well on a quiz, I'm gonna say, hey, Dave, I need to see you. Dave gets a pass, Dave comes down, we intervene and we remediate that. We do it by invitation so the teacher knows, A, how many kids are coming, and B, they already know what they need. It's not like a whole bunch of students coming in and the teacher going, I don't know what else? You can't all need something different, and we only have 20 minutes. So it's very targeted. So we're doing that 4 days a week right now. Other teachers can also request those kids, but there's a priority day. So if it's a science priority day and a math teacher wants them, as long as science doesn't need them, the math teacher can have them, right? So it works on a priority basis. Our goal here in Richmond, and I mentioned this the other day, our goal is to then begin, and I'm hoping we can like run this little tiny pilot between Thanksgiving and Christmas where we can begin to offer students a chance to do something they don't get to do in their regular day, right? So again, for example, we have some students that don't have time to take woods. Mr. Rivera said, hey, I could offer just a fishing net building session, right? And so it might be a 2-week unit or 3-week unit. And all those students will have to do is come in and they'll safety test on the tools required for that thing. And then they build these custom fishing nets, because they don't have a chance to do that otherwise. So that's kind of our goal there, all around the building, teachers offering opportunities for kids. We do then also do a grade level team intervention. So every 2 weeks our teachers meet in grade level teams. So 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, every teacher's on a team. One of the things that we've included in that, this is really their chance to talk about an individual student, because the PLC collaboration time isn't for that. This is the opportunity which they use to talk about students that they're concerned with, right? And so we developed a new form for this school year called Students of Concern. And the idea with that is that if they have a student, a teacher, they agree that they've got a student that they're struggling with, they'll come up with a list of interventions, things to try. They go out and try them. And 2 weeks later, they come back with data and they say, hey, this really worked for me, right? And they may all try different things. But the idea is, let's figure out what's working for a kid. So far, that's been pretty good. And teachers leave that meeting with a plan, right? If the student still needs intervention following that, then it's going to come to the counseling office, to me, and we're going to look at what else we can do. So that's grade level teams. We call them pods. Have been around Buffalo High School forever. We just have kind of tweaked part of that purpose. And then we do those intervention course offerings. Charles and a group were there in the building one day during 7th period, I think it was, and they got to see some of our teachers working with a group of students who struggle in math or struggle in English. And it's a small group. They get a lot of one-on-one help with those content areas. So we are doing that this year. We also look at second semester with math lab and English lab. And so those are credit recovery opportunities for our students. So we have a student who doesn't pass Algebra 1 first semester. We roll them right into Algebra 1 first semester, second semester, so that they finish, because we have this indicator grade 9 credits, they finish by earning all the credit that they need. Right? They're not credit deficit as freshmen, which is not a good situation to be in. So we do that in both math and English, depending on our numbers. We also do a math lab. So we know, looking at YTOP scores, talking with 8th grade teachers in math, we know which students are predictably going to struggle in Algebra 1. So we contact those parents and we say, listen, we do have this opportunity. Your student is enrolled in Algebra 1, but we can also offer them this math lab. So it's an Algebra 1 lab.
That's not our alarm. Keep going.
Yes, you're good.
It's an Algebra 1 lab. So they get Algebra 1 with their regular class, but then they get a second period with Ms. Nelson to pre-teach and reteach those things. The success rate of that has been phenomenal. We had the first year that we did it, every student who took the math lab option passed Algebra 1, every single one. It's been great. Just a super good thing. So we continue that as one of these intervention course offerings. So this is a systematic plan to address our growth and our equity, as well as our achievement. I mean, this will boost our achievement. So that's the school improvement plan. Stephen, if we can go back to the board report one more time. And if we can go down to, actually, would you go up? So what I would like to show you, just come on down, let's put this at the bottom.
Oh, God. That way. Sorry.
That's bad. So we can get, yep, there you go. So check this list out. In 3 years, this is what the staff at Buffalo High School has put in place. So we created these ninth grade skinnies back when we were at 90-minute block schedules, right? We made a priority schedule that our English 9 and our social studies 9 were back-to-back, so that halfway through first period, Sandy Moon at the time and Brent Gross just switched kids. They were 45 minutes in English, then they went to social studies, because we have all our ninth graders in those two classes. It's the only two that work. So we created these skinnies so that those two teachers saw every student every day. Made a huge difference. Huge. That's part of this, some of these master schedule changes. But we went from a hybrid block to continuing the hybrid block, but putting all 8 periods on Friday to now having all 8 periods all week. So that's been a transition over the last 3 years. We use a lot more teacher communication between the middle school and the high school with regard to where students coming out of the middle school should be placed. A lot more communication with the teachers, a lot more looking at the 8th grade YTOP data. But we look at everything from attendance to behavior to academics. We look at the whole picture of a student to figure out, should they go to geometry and construction or to intermediate algebra, for example. We did realize last year we had students in this geometry and construction class who were then being asked to go straight into Algebra 2. Well, we weren't providing them the foundation to be super successful to make that leap. So we built a new class called Intermediate Algebra, so these students have a natural transition where they can now be way more successful. Math Lab and ELA Lab are up there. We brought in the ACT suite of assessments, and you will see that actually on the post-secondary readiness report, the example that's included in the board report. So our students, beginning in ninth grade, they're taking their grade level ACT. It's great practice. It's a great indicator for what they need to work on and what they're doing well on. So we do it in ninth grade. We do, again, the 10th grade version before they take the ACT in 11th grade. We use Naviance both as career navigation and as ACT prep. We're doing our credit recovery. Special assignment is the class, we call that the class that Charles, your group was able to see a week or 2 weeks ago. We have included these advisory interventions at this point. We're running seconds. We've got the common prep and PLC work, which focuses both on academics, assessment, things like that, and instructional practices. What is good instruction? What does it look like? We've changed that, our math sequencing. We also now do the ASVAB for all students, and that's included in that PSR report as well. That ASVAB is one of the components of measure for a post-secondary readiness, which is on our school report card. Tremendous amount of stuff.
So one of the things Gibbs keeps referencing that we've seen, that was our learning walks that we did as an administrative team to kind of tighten up what we're doing with our evaluations and growth model. And then not to confuse that with the PLC walks that we're also trying to do building to building with Mitch Kraft. So when we say there was a group of administrators from Johnson County, we were doing learning walks in relevance to just kind of, I guess, want to be a systems check, some consistency check with that piece. So that's what Gibbs is referring to when we talked about teams being in the buildings.
Check my list.
Which is a new thing, too.
Yes, and it'll be a good thing. Thanks, Stephen. Questions for me?
Questions from the board.
Gib, does the state go over this? They have to approve it, correct? Your school improvement plan?
It does, yep.
So how does that work? Do they actually come up to see?
No. Stephen? I have no idea.
So Dave, you've never seen anybody from the state.
I can answer that question.
Yeah, thank you.
So
great.
In reference to that question is, part of the accountability system is, first of all, is now it's common practice to do school improvement plans. But when you are don't meet or you're partially meeting, part of the state expectations are that you put a plan together that has to be approved by the board first, and then it goes to the state for final approval. So that's what we're doing that's new here today is last year we kind of talked about this and said, well, we don't want a rubber stamp. So if it's something you have to approve as a board of trustees, Gibb and their team put a great presentation here today. So you as a board are evaluating, which Gibb pointed out, all the different areas and what their goals are. So you will approve this. And then the state looks at it by saying, okay, board of trustees, if you've approved it, then there's some accountability with it. And then it goes off to the state for final approval. So in most cases, it's going to be a rubber stamp of approval. But if they come back and say, hey, there's some areas that we don't really like in this plan, then we would come back and work with that process. But the state accountability model says, look it, you need a school improvement plan because you either didn't meet or you were partially meeting. That needs to be put together by building leadership and their teams, presented to you as a board for final approval. We will have to document that you had approved this tonight. And then, with the help of Dr. Miller, we will submit this to the state for final approval. So
Charles, it looks great to me. It sounds good. So I want to do the what if. What if it doesn't work, and what if you don't grow in those areas? Then what?
So Dave, this is where it comes back. I'm getting excited now too.
I'm not excited, believe me.
This is the part where state accountability is a real thing. So when we talk about data retreats and start looking at that, is we should be doing this as a PLC district. So if it didn't work, then we probably need to reevaluate why it didn't work and then make changes annually through that process. So you see everything up there that they've already put in place over the last 2 to 3 years.
A lot of
and
things.
So as we monitor that, that's what a true PLC district is doing. We're monitoring the data, and a goal is a target. All right, you have to remember, if you miss it, then you better figure out why and then readjust. So that's the whole process about looking at data from the top down, from you as a board through each one of the buildings. When we start looking at performance, this is what we're held accountable for. This is the process we're in. So I think what you're seeing here to answer your question, Dave, as a board member is, yeah, so what if we don't meet some of these things, then we need to reevaluate and readjust and not just continue the journey. So that's why this is an annual piece that would. Now, I would hope to see, because there's some lagging indicators in this. There are some things that they've already got in place. There are some things that we will look at. But the reality is this plan, what we're showing you here tonight, what they're showing you here tonight, I'll take the we out. This is them and their buildings, because each building is a little different. This is them looking at what the state is saying we're doing or not doing, developing a plan and putting it into motion. Now, we could exceed those goals, but we also showed at the very beginning, we were here and we fell. So guess what? We need to decide why we went down a notch and make sure we don't do that again. Right. So what are some of the things we're putting in place? So the reality is, I feel it's a great school improvement plan. Now it's Gibbs' job and his team's job to make sure that everything that he's presented tonight really is going to move the needle next year with some of the things we say. Right? Is that fair?
Absolutely fair.
So the other thing I would ask you is, as you have these interventions, do you have enough staff to do the interventions during lunch hour or substitutes or whatever you need? Do you have what you need? That's what I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
Right now the answer is yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We have...
And I applaud those teachers for taking time out of their lunch hour
so
to
I.
come and help the kids that need it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We have, I think, at the moment, 6 teachers kind of doing a rotating basis, and regularly we use 4 a day.
Okay.
There's a demand. And it's interesting. You talk to students. Some of them will just tell you, I like this. I can get my work done here. I don't have to take it home. I like this. And so they show up. Is that exactly what I want? No. But if they're sitting in a classroom, they're having lunch with a teacher, if they have a question, they get it answered. So it's hard to say no to that.
A lot of times you just need that little extra help.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And the vast majority, on any given day, the majority of our teachers are in building, right? And so, again, when we have a kid who needs some help in science, our teachers are, they're so willing to say, just send them up. So,
one more question, then I'll be quiet.
No, you're good.
So you implemented the PLC, did you say 2 years ago?
2 years ago we started.
Do you find it helpful?
Yeah. So Dave, I've been doing PLC work for 15 years in districts, and I can tell you in my experience, and the research says, when it's done right, it's the number one indicator to improve student learning. Number one. It
Great.
Is the best thing we can do.
So we're still kind of getting there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
It takes,
and I know what
yes.
you, Charles, you told us is there are districts that have been doing it for 8 years,
yeah.
and they're still trying to hit the
target. Okay, it's a lot easier in the younger grades, but in the high school or secondary, it's always an ongoing thing, and it's always ongoing in every building. But there was an administrator that said, we started this journey, but it was between buildings a long time ago, because I think it's been around for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I know it has. But as a district focus, since I've been here, this is a district focus that we've done expectation across the district. So that's why we brought in the trainings and some of the things that we're doing, and that's some of the work we've done with Mitch. It's not only the PLC work that's happening here, but it's alignment of curriculum assessment that's critical to that piece, too.
So give us a board. Is there anything you need from us?
Just your continued support for us doing good stuff. I welcome the questions always. I hope you know that. Our job is to monitor all this stuff. Some of it we can only monitor at the end of a semester. I do think that some of the decisions, for example, our math department made in their sequencing is going to have a tremendously positive impact on our student achievement. I just know it will. They will now. We know they'll be ready for that next step. And we were missing some kids before that. So,
Mr. Chair,
please.
Thank you for the opportunity to actually dig deep and look into this this action plan. I dug deep where you allowed us to dig deep, and it was really interesting to me. I kind of got excited too, and I don't normally get excited about this kind of stuff, but it was exciting to see that you're moving the needle. And so just maybe a couple of things that I, as I was looking through, I like that you, you know, like, here's your action item, here's our timeline, and then here's the resources needed, because sometimes I feel like that we forget exactly, or we don't know exactly what all the resources are.
Sure.
And as I looked, you know, through all these action items and I see different resources, I see a common theme, and I see a lot of themes that relate to funds, substitutes, that's, you know, funds that we need that. I see funds needed for our teachers to be able to collaborate with other master teachers, whether they just
critical.
Go 30 miles up the road or an hour down the road, whatever. And so I see that. And the rationale being that we would be able to offer our kids high-quality instruction, which is ultimately what we're looking for. So sort of a question, and I don't know that you can really answer it. How many teachers have you currently had to be able to take that opportunity to go and observe a master teacher? Have you? And I know, like, you're... the timeline is till the end of this school year.
It is,
but like we're almost halfway there.
Right.
Are you?
I've had in the last 2 years, I've had a handful of teachers come and say, "Hey, I'd like to go see."
And so, do they come and say, "Hey, I want to go," or do you say, "Hey, through what I'm seeing with your scores within your classes, I would like to give you the opportunity to go"?
So currently, they come.
Okay. Okay.
That's a super good question.
Yeah. I think that's another good measure on like accountability. Mm-hmm. I mean, we require accountability for our students, so why wouldn't we do that for our teachers? I think that's a great idea. I think it's always great to go get other ideas from other places, because having different lenses is important. One of the other common denominators that I'm seeing is like with the scheduling and like the flexibility. And as everyone knows, we're talking a lot about scheduling right now. That's really important. I truthfully, until I dug into it, didn't realize how important it was. And it is truly important. And being flexible within that schedule. I appreciated the other night when you said, here's the pie, and we can cut it up how we want. I think that that's important, and that we need to remember that BHS is your pie and your teacher's pie, and that you should be able to work within what works for you guys. Kind of one of the questions that I have is when we looked at modifying, so the action plan was to modify the master schedule, develop a systematic remediation enrichment system, and I saw the resources that you need is flexibility in your scheduling and collaboration. One of my questions for you is, in the end, you said survey students and parents about progress and success. Do we do that again at the end of the school year? Is that how that will go?
Yeah, so the goal will be that we survey parents and students. And we do a student and parent and staff climate survey every year. Michelle Dahlberg does a great job with that. So we're going to be including in that some of these questions around changes that we make and how they impact. Hopefully we get some feedback on how they impact students and parents. We did a parent survey on our seconds, and I think I included the, okay.
Yep.
So super simple, right? We did it at parent-teacher conferences, like 5 questions or something, very simple deal. And the feedback from parents was phenomenal. When we started this, I anticipated getting some phone calls. I have not had one. So there you go.
I like the idea just from a parent standpoint. I think it's important. There for a while we were doing a lot of surveying of a lot of different things, and they were going out too. And I mean, it's one of the only ways that we can get measurable data, as Dr. Miller has ingrained in us. And the more simple we can keep it and the tightened up, I feel like the better off of a response that we'll get.
So, yeah. Chris Cox designed that, and I thought he did a phenomenal job keeping it simple.
Anyway, I just want to congratulate you on this. I think that this was, for me, I had a really easy time understanding and figuring out, you know, like actually where you're headed
Good.
And the direction that you're looking Good. For. And with us having some hard decisions coming our way, I feel like I have some data in my head, like, okay, so that I can make the best decisions that I know how to make. So,
well, I appreciate that.
Kudos to you.
I mean, my hope was by providing you enough and not too much, it was enough.
Yeah.
Because you're not sitting in Buffalo yeah. High School with the staff discussing this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But that's what we do.
And kudos to your team. I mean, it yeah. takes a group. It takes
yeah,
the whole village. And when I see that you, as the leadership of that building, you know, you have these goals, that excites me to hopefully think that your teachers are doing everything that they can to help you meet those goals. Because ultimately, Buffalo High School, it's all of you. It's not just
yeah,
you.
No.
It takes each one of you.
No,
so,
it's not
thank
about,
you for that.
Not about me.
Mr.
Just a question, please.
This is more of a statement. You know, I look at our staff right now, district-wide, and I can see us losing some really, well, they're all good teachers, but some really outstanding teachers that are going to age out, for a better word. And I really hope that our PLCs are geared for our young teachers, that we can still use those teachers that we're going to lose. I mean, when we just throw our young teachers mm-hmm. to the wolves, our kids aren't going to be successful.
Yeah.
And I really hope that these PLCs bring in and help these young teachers that are, you know, that they're not just on an island by themselves. And I know we used to have a mentoring thing, and I don't know if that really probably didn't work, but our PLCs have got to be there for our younger teachers.
No, you're right. And so we have what the PLC world calls a guiding coalition, and it's a leadership team focused purposefully just on professional learning
teachers.
Communities. So the other truth to that, and I agree with you, I mean, we have some phenomenal master teachers who over the next 5 years or whatever will move on to other things. We've also done a tremendously good job hiring people in the last 5 years. And I can only speak to that because this is my fifth year here, right? Phenomenal teachers.
I just look who taught me how to teach, you know, Coach Mike Moon, Susie Berry,
yeah.
you know, these were the people actually taught me how to teach.
Yeah, yeah, you don't learn it.
No.
No, agreed.
Michelle Dogg, Cammie Kennedy.
Agreed.
They taught me how to teach. So.
Additional questions, Marcia, please.
Chair, just to piggyback off that, because I wrote this down off, it kind of goes with you guys too, with the teachers observing other teachers. I hope that one, if they do that, that would help these newer teachers. And the seeing through other people's eyes or just a different point of view from other high
mm-hmm.
quality teachers in other areas, I really hope teachers take advantage of that and come to you. And
I should.
That's a great opportunity for them.
Agreed. And so to piggyback on that, kind of too late to put in here, but our individual teacher observation model is going to morph a little bit here in the next week. So the staff will know this on Thursday. You're going to know it tonight. We're going to begin to do that as a collaborative team. So our social studies team will go into Buffalo High School and do observations. And this is, we were at a PLC training in Riverton, 8 of us, 2 weeks ago. And coming back, this was one of the things that the Guiding Coalition, those team members said, this would be valuable. So what that'll allow them to do is we'll get a team of 3 teachers in most cases, the math department, the science department, going out to observe. They'll do those observations, 20 minutes or whatever. But then they bring that information back and they sit back down at the table and they get to have a conversation about that stuff instead of, which will allow a much deeper reflection and conversation. And then they will provide input. And we've got a super simple half sheet of paper to provide to the teacher that's been observed. So I think that through that, we will just deepen that even more.
Gib, I've got one for you. So 3 Novembers back, we had a required plan of improvement. You guys executed it and moved us into the meeting expectations. And then it appears as laurels were rested upon and we fell right back in to a required plan of improvement. Can you help me understand how this plan will help us move to, we expect the super of the board and yep. you expect this building to exceed expectations in all of these metrics. But it appears the goal was, oh, look, we met the expectations. Everybody relax. Tell me how that changes.
Yeah, not. So when we got this report, and Michelle might want to speak to this too, while we didn't cry, we were angry. Because we know the things that we put in place at Buffalo High School are making a difference in all of these areas. So our graduation indicators that dropped from exceeding to meeting are both lagging indicators. So they're 2 years back. And sometimes it is what it is, to be honest with you. Sometimes we have a class size has an impact on that. What I know is that if we put enough systematic interventions in place to meet the needs of every student, we will, the graduation piece is quite honestly taking care of itself through all the rest of it. Our graduation rate is good. It will continue to improve. And so what we really have to focus on at this point are those two areas where we're not meeting, and we have to continue to hammer away at the stuff we're doing. Because we've seen the needle move. Michelle, is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, Stephen, if you won't mind scrolling down just a little bit farther at the very end, there's what's called the PSR report.
Yeah, sorry.
And I mean, I'm just a person that likes to follow a kiddo all the way through. And if we have this for all of our classes now, when we got the report and we looked at some data, we had some things that we weren't quite keeping track of kids correctly and making sure that we didn't have some missed students. And so over the last year, Jake and I have just really been working on our CTE pathways with our students and their accountability. This also has their ACT score and their ASVAB scores. So we already know which students are already career ready, college ready, and military ready. And so every student has to have at least one green box or they're going to count against us. And so as I've learned more in my role, I mean, I was a business teacher forever and just trying to learn the school counselor stuff, and I'm learning stuff all the time. As Jake came on and started taking on the Perkins stuff, him and I have really been super intentional making sure that none of our students in Johnson County are getting missed on that process. So this is like our little, how we keep track of our students and how we make sure that no students are missed, which affect our report card. So our point two, it's really hard for me. Our point two was three kids mm-hmm. that we didn't get the green tag on. And it's just all of us learning and making sure that we're keeping good track of each student. So I really feel like with those three kids, I've told Gibbs so many times, like, these three kids, we could have had that point too. So that's how we're trying to be better too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else from the board? All right. Thanks, Gibbs. Thank you.
Thank you. Well done.
Okay, next up, additions or accept the agenda. Does anybody have anything on the agenda that they feel like you need to modify or update? I'd entertain a motion.
I make a motion to accept the agenda as presented.
Second. Got a motion and a second from Jan and Casey. Any discussion from the board? All in favor?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
So I have a question. How many surplus TVs do we have?
I think it's 12. It might end up being 15.
12 to 15?
Yeah.
And so my question might be is, as we try to involve the community in our schools and that kind of stuff, is there a reason that the community members wouldn't also be allowed to
enter the raffle?
I think there's a lot of staff that really want them.
But that,
there's a lot of staff that are.
So, Dave, to help answer that question, we did a very similar thing with the surplus. We allowed the staff to have first access, and then what did get picked up, then we went to the community. So the intention is if we don't have staff members that are interested, it would be public. So it's just kind of following the same protocol we did with the surpluses that we had this last summer. So.
Did you ask?
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Are we talking about
Chief, looking at the additions or acceptance of the agenda? Or
yes, we're at the acceptance of agenda.
We're not in the consent.
We haven't got the consent at this time.
Should this conversation take place on the consent? Because I had some questions.
I believe so, too. I think that's the appropriate place. But if we needed to pull something out of consent because of a concern, this is how we know. So the question
is
proper, and now's the time.
Okay, then I'm going to ask.
Please.
I was just approached. Good question, Dave. Also on the TV surplus raffle. I was approached by a community member that was questioning if it would be an opportunity for senior gifts at the senior party. Would that be something that we could put it at their graduation party for Casey, New West, and Buffalo High School, if that would be an option as well, that it would go to students?
Like a drawing
on that too. So it was just an option. It was something that I said I would ask.
Don't want to move them around as a storm for very long. We're hoping to get rid of them by before Thanksgiving.
I would almost bet, I'm not going to say for sure, but I would almost bet that if we decided to do that, we could probably find somewhere to store them. But
so for the question of agenda.
So, Mr. Chair, just within the reference of the questions being asked, is that something we need to pull out, put into an action item so we can have an individual conversation?
It sounds to me as if it is.
We could do that.
Okay, then we need to... we need to strike down the motion that we started, which was to accept as presented, if we intend to move that into an action item.
Okay.
So, all in favor of approving the motion to approve the agenda as presented, signify by saying aye. All opposed, same sign?
Okay.
Aye. Okay, suggestions for modification of the agenda.
I make a motion for the modification to move the TV surplus raffle into the action items. Action item would be E.
Okay, move that down to E. Was seconded by Marcia. Okay, all in favor of approving the modified agenda. Moving this item down to action item E, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Okay. So next up, consent agenda.
No action item.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm about to blow it, which I tend to do often. Anyway, two, consent agenda.
I make a motion to
approve
the consent agenda as presented.
With the modifications.
With the modification of moving the surplus to the action item B.
I'll second that.
Got a motion and a second, Lynette and Dave? Any discussion from the board? All in favor of approving the consent agenda as modified, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign? Righto. Now to action items. Policy revision, first reading. We have three of these, FEG, FFGB, and FG, all of which, Heidi, if I'm right, we don't have these, and the WSBA recommended we adopt.
Correct.
Okay. A motion from the
board.
So
I'll make a motion to accept policy FEG, construction contracts, as written.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second to accept FEG, Dave and Marcia, as presented. Discussion from the board, FEG competitive contracts.
So, Mr. Chair,
please.
Charles, don't we have a policy, very, very similar to this now?
So I'm going to let Connie speak to that a little bit with that process. But we have a procurement, which we went through the federal investigation. And as I want to just remind, we do have it, and it's getting tweaked, but again, this is the School Boards Association of an audit that when we come back to some different things, this is more of a recommendation of what we're doing with construction contracts and getting an award, but I will let Connie speak to that.
Yeah, it's about construction versus the others is supplies and materials. So this is about construction, and it lines up better with the state construction.
Do you think at some time they'll take those two policies and put them together?
Possibly, because we've got to come back to the DJ, the procurement policy, and at that time we might be able to put them all back together. But this is just trying to get us up to code and make sure we have the things that we want.
Thanks, Colin.
Other questions or discussion from the board? Hearing none, all in favor of approving FEG as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, we've got FEGB.
I'll make a motion to approve policy FEGB as presented.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Marcia and Casey. This is construction contractors, affidavits, and guarantees. I read this one, and it's really close to industry standard. All the municipalities have this. It's pretty vanilla. The contractors are used to it. It looks okay to me. Other discussion from the board? Hearing none. All in favor of approving FEGB as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. And thirdly, first reading, FG, acceptance of new facilities.
Make a motion to approve policy FG.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Dave and Marcia. Again, this one is fairly standard. A walkthrough is just
and
about
and just a comment. It's common sense.
It
you
is.
Know that you're going to come and you're going to walk through the new facility and
see that
sure
you got what you paid for. Yeah, that's this is common too. Not anything the contractors would be shocked by.
Mr. Chair,
please.
Dave, do you remember in the past have we ever gone to inspect the buildings for completeness? Did we do that with like?
Yeah, I've not been on the board long enough to see a new facility that I can recall, Jim.
The board asked, but the facilities director.
Well, because it says here,
but now the board
trustees
has to, yeah.
Shall inspect.
I mean, you're welcome to.
I mean, but that's it's board policy. If you yep. accept it, it shall inspect the building for completeness.
Absolutely. The superintendent and the board shall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, I was going to make him show it to me anyway. I don't want to see anything.
Well,
additional. But, oh, excuse me.
It's a good point, Jim.
Additional discussion? Hearing none. Connie, please.
So, would you like to see superintendent, board members, or designee on there, and or designee?
No, I think it's written.
This
okay.
is first.
The way it's written, the board of trustees shall inspect. So it means we got to find a time for all nine of us to go do the march,
or those that can make it. At least you have to have a quorum.
So should we?
Well, it doesn't say a quorum. It doesn't say how many.
No, it specifies the board. So maybe we need to have the policy committee look at making this a
okay,
board of representative group
you
or something.
Have a, and I would say, Travis, as you have a board meeting, if all nine members can't make it to the board meeting, you have to have a quorum. And I would presume that you...
Fair point. But we'll discuss that at policy committee and see if we can't smooth that out a bit. Additional thoughts, discussion here.
So this is only in first reading. So
this is first reading, so it'll come to the
policy committee.
Yeah. Hearing none, all in favor of approving FG as we suggest the modification, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay. Next, district. Let's see. No, I jumped. Got to go to.
We have policy JF student admission.
Yep.
It's all right, got them down there. These are others, and these are also first reading, if I got this correct. Policy JF.
And I would make a motion to approve policy JF student admissions.
Second.
Motion and a second. Dave and Casey, discussion from the board.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
I actually do have a question within this policy. Do we have an exemption policy on immunizations? Does anyone know?
So, a student will be exempt from immunization requirements.
Exempted. Oh, okay.
So, is that, do you want more than that section, Lynette?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it does. It is. I guess I'm reading it as it is standard. I just want to be sure that we have the protection for the other side too. And I guess that does, I see the physicians and then I see the parents. So actually I'm good with it. Just want to be sure.
But to be clear, but as a parent or guardian certifies that the child is a member of a recognized religious group, so it would have to be the religious kind of. I can't just say that I don't believe in any musicians. I would have to say I am a part of
this. And maybe that's where I was coming from. It wouldn't be necessarily just like an religious or a physician's exemption. Mm-hmm. It was just if that's their personal choice. Is that? I mean,
anybody can certify that they're a member or be recognized. So that's part of a discussion. So I think part of what the liability responsibility of the district is that some kind of letter or certifies that this is what they believe, part of that process. So I think honestly, this was reviewed by the School Boards Association to make sure everybody has an opportunity.
Yeah.
So if we got into that scenario, what we would typically do is make sure that we're following policy and be referenced to a legal counsel.
I guess my concern was with the when COVID-19 came through and there was all of that, and we all went through that. If there was ever, quote, a law put into place, because mandates aren't laws, but if there was an actual law put into place, and whether you religiously believed or your physician said no, or you just said no as a personal choice. I'm big on personal choice. So I don't know. This is smart. This has got to be smarter than me. I'm just questioning.
But no, it's a great question. So again, this is first reading, so we can do a little more in depth.
Okay.
So Heidi, would you note that? That we'll talk to legal counsel.
Other discussion or question from the board?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, hearing none. All in favor of approving policy JF on first reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, and then a revision to policy GCBD.
I'll make a motion to accept policy GCBD, employees' fringe benefits, as presented.
I've got a second. So, motion and a second. Dave and Marcia to approve GCBD as presented. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, my discussion is, and sorry for not knowing, what is gap insurance?
So, Mr. Chair, this is a great opportunity for Connie and her team that did a lot of work with this to kind of describe what the changes are in this policy and help answer that question. So, yeah.
So what we have is that we pay for workman's comp for high-risk employees.
And so I don't mean to cut you off. How do you determine that? Why?
It's by the rules that are set in law. So cook, a bus driver, a mechanic, you know, anybody in grounds, science, teachers who do labs, SPED, paraSPED, SPED teachers. So all of those are covered with workman's comp. Well, the rest of our employees don't have any kind of insurance if something happens to them on the job. So I'm not in that list of high risk employees. So if I hurt myself, then we purchased a insurance plan that will pay the difference between your out-of-pocket and the insurance. So if you've got insurance and your out-of-pocket is $500 and the insurance picks up $4,500 of a $500 bill, the gap insurance would cover the $500. Or if I don't have any insurance at all and there was a $5,000, I think there's a limit to $5,000 for each incident, then they would cover the $5,000. So it's just it wasn't expensive, and it was something that gives our employees a little bit of coverage for if they got hurt on the job.
So the health insurance doesn't have an accident rider on it.
Yeah.
how often are people using like a workman's comp? Do we have a lot of injuries?
We've had several in the last, our workman's comp rate increased, but yeah, we've had several, but not very many people that aren't in those jobs have hurt themselves in the last year that we've had the gap insurance. So we haven't had anybody use it, but it's there in case something happens. Because I tripped coming in here and there wasn't a bump. It was just, so anything can happen.
Well, I can certainly see at the bus barn Bill's position where workers' comp could come in pretty handy. It's
yeah,
the
and
cheapest
we, and
insurance
we have
you'll
that.
Ever get.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we have that. But it's for the rest of the people that don't that aren't covered.
Thanks.
Additional discussion from the board? Questions, comments, anybody?
This is a lot of changes, so I would like
yeah,
to
that
recommend
huge.
That if you're, this is a great opportunity to ask questions. I know they've done a lot of work with HR and making sure that we're aptly up to speed with what we're doing, because this is definitely something the district hasn't been doing correctly. So this is our opportunity to get this policy up to speed. So, and again, it's only first reading. I would like to take it to the very end where we did add that piece when certified employee, we have been paying out insurance, but now when, I just want to very clearly say, when you decide to move on or you're done, your insurance stops at that point or time. However, we emphasize that any employees that have been with the district for 15 or more plus years, we would pay out through that piece. So this is this policy kind of follows industry standards, but we've added an exception to the end. So.
Mr. Chair, per Charles's comment, I feel like I need to ask, so what additional burden does this place on the district financially?
What we've been doing is that we've been not following the policy. We've actually been paying insurance out for June, July, and August for those teachers who have resigned and moved to another district.
But I mean, we added workers' comp and this gap, which I don't think we had before.
Workman's comp, we have workman's comp. Yeah,
okay.
We've always had workman's comp. But the gap, yeah, I want to say it was $16,000 for the whole district, so it was not
minimal.
Expensive. And then, the health insurance, we were paying that out for 3 months, and that cost us between $50,000 and $60,000 a summer. And so now we're going to come back and follow the policy, and so the teacher's last working day is in May, then their insurance ends the last day of May, and then if someone retires and they've been here 15 years, then we're going to pay them through August, pay their insurance through August.
So to summarize it, we're actually looking at providing efficiencies for the district. There's some savings in that. Okay.
$50,000 to $60,000 a year.
So we cut out unemployment insurance.
No, not at all. No. Workman's comp. We have workman's comp. We're not changing that.
Unemployment.
Unemployment.
Thanks
for turning that fan off.
We don't pay unemployment insurance. We've never had it. We're a state entity, and we have to pay. If someone leaves, we pay 100% of the unemployment. So.
For how long?
For whatever they determine, it's through a process at the Wyoming Workers Service. And so they go through that process and tell us how long we have to pay. And we get a report, and then we have to cut the check. And it's for 100% of it. So we don't have any unemployment insurance.
But that's unchanged by this policy? That stays the same? Or
We cut it out of the policy because we don't.
Because we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because we're a state entity, we don't have to do it that way.
Yeah. We haven't been doing it. This brings our actions to policy. I gotcha. Other questions or thoughts? I heard somebody. Oh.
I did, but you answered. How much was that costing us to continue the insurance? 50 to 60 days.
Anything?
But I do like the idea that we will reward those who've been with us 15 plus.
And I think it's retired.
Retired?
Can I say that in there?
Mm-hmm.
they'll have to be retired.
Retires at the end.
Oh, I see. So if they change another job after 15 years, we're not going, okay.
That's where the policy committee left it. So.
Anything else, board, on this one? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the modifications to GCBD as presented on first reading, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. All right. Okay. I've actually got to the end of it this time, have I not? BHS School Improvement Plan.
I'll make a motion to accept the BHS School Improvement Plan as was presented tonight.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Dave and Lynette. Discussion from the board. Anything we haven't hit already? Anyone? Hearing none. All in favor of approving the BHS School Improvement Plan as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. Graduation credit requirements.
Mr. Chair, there are two motions here listed. I think it.
You guys can
choose.
We get to pick.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I think that, yeah. The board
thing?
Needs to discuss which one are we going to put forward, because one is pretty specific and the other one is pretty broad. And I guess I would ask our superintendent, because which one he would prefer.
I need a motion to begin the discussion.
Well,
so
how do we motion
let us
we
motion
don't know
to
which one to motion?
Let us motion to discuss and determine
Mr.
which
Chair,
of the motions presented. Yes,
Mr.
Please.
Chair, I make a motion that the Board of Trustees directs the superintendent to move forward to revise the JCSD1 graduation requirements and all policies connected with the graduation requirements.
Okay, so you're motioning for number one on our list here.
Second.
Motion and a second to direct the superintendent to move forward to revise the JCSD1 graduation requirements and all policies connected with the graduation requirements. Okay, now discussion.
I guess, so what does that mean? I mean, are we messing with the credits? Are we what do you want, Mr. Oski? I mean,
so, I'll redirect that question. The question is, if you look at the history, the Board of Trustees in 2021 asked me to do research on high-performing districts and the comparison work is. My recommendation to the Board of Trustees was looking at reducing credits from 28 to 24. But in that process and evaluation with the teams, there's also a consistency and fairness issue that we look at all policies, they're tied to that. So my recommendation still stands per the research that we've done, that we are just looking at the reduction of credits from 28 to 24. But in that intention, I also feel that we need to be consistent with looking at all policies that impact that, so you as a Board of Trustees knows what that impact is. So either one of those motions, I think, is well explained in the options summary of what happens. We're going to look at all policies, but I have not changed my recommendation to the board. It has been strictly focused on, the focus has always been on what the master schedule looks like at one school, but if we're going to do this, that is a policy which requires looking at graduation requirements from 28 to 24. So kind of we make the comment, it can be sliced either way, whatever we want to do, but I think either one of these motions still stands too, unless you as a board want something different, was the reduction of 28 graduation credits to 24. With the understanding we'll look at all policies impacted by this and come to you as a Board of Trustees. So tonight is not changing policy. Tonight is giving clear direction on what you want me to do.
Okay, so I just want to be clear. So what we want to do is what we're asking to do is take BHS, reduce it from 28 to 24. The way I read it, New West stays the same at the 20 graduation credits, and KC will also be 24. Would I be correct?
So, yeah, that summarizes, that's the initial, but with that, Dave, we'll bring, I'm going to be transparent saying all policies, so we would revisit New West, we'd revisit early graduation, any policy tied to graduation will be revisited, but the initial recommendation was based on looking at changing to a 7 period, which again is an impact of graduation credits. So what we have in front of you is that reduction from 28 to 24. But through that process and through the feedback that we received from multiple stakeholders is to be consistent. We need to look at all policies that touch graduation requirements. Doesn't mean we're changing them, but we at least need to revisit them and make a recommendation so that when this is all done, we can say there's consistency across the board for all schools.
So you're recommending, sorry. You're recommending
Motion one. To be flexible.
Either of these motions will ask the superintendent to take the actions here to look at these policies.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Okay. So we have had the opportunity, we got a close eye on the improvement plan tonight at BHS. We have seen the, somewhere down the line, I know that we have seen Casey High School and that we've also seen New West High School. Those all have measurable data in them to help us to make good decisions, which in turn, I believe the measurable data will give our superintendent the to make decisions and come to us with what his recommendation is. Through that, with the resources that so far BHS presented, and I know Casey, I saw it too, the flexibility within their school. If there was anything that I took away from the other night, it's what Jan said, and is to please stay flexible. The cool thing about it, I think, is that the educators know how it works. They know their students, they know their peers, they know their classes. Like, I think that it gives us a good option with actual data to make good decisions. And so this has been an ongoing study for 2 years that we as a board have asked for. We have asked for this. We have asked, how can we get our scores up? How can we keep quality teachers in front of our kids? How can we get that base up so that we are competitive with districts around us? How can we recruit good teachers? All of those things tie into. And so for me personally, this motion, looking at the summary of options, we are staying flexible. I really, truly believe that. And we're giving direction. And we're telling him, like, go forward and keep it flexible. Just my opinion.
So you like motion law?
Yeah, that's it.
Additional discussion, questions, comments?
So Travis, I mean, just so we're very clear, I mean, because this is a big decision. Yes. I mean, let's not throw it out there. I mean, but we got to go back to the history. I guess what I'm asking as a superintendent, this is all the way back prior to me. This is 2019 through a presentation in 2021, what this all looks like. Whatever is decided tonight, I'll be straight up, I'm good with, but we can't go back and revisit it again. It's time to make a decision and move forward. But some very clear evidence has come out. We've presented that. Gibb and his team has been a part of that process for the last couple years. However, the impact of what this is and what the study has looked like is that means you have to change policy, okay?
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about here tonight. In addition to what's originally happened in 21, but you go back to 2019, you as a board, former Board of Trustees in 2019 also had financial challenges, but then COVID hit and we were funded with a lot of extra funds, which we're going to get audited over the next couple years on. What that looks like is we just presented the data. No matter where we go tonight, I need you to hear as the superintendent, I feel I've done my job in accordance to recommendations to you on high-performing districts. That's what you've asked. People will say, well, how did they do it? Well, we got to figure out how to do it like they did it in that process. But I agree with the flexibility. But please understand, no matter what is decided tonight, we still have the obstacles in front of you doesn't change. We will still be making decisions based on to stay within our sustainability. Okay, we will still be making decisions to about accountability and everything that flows along with that. However, just like the four-day week, I talked with Heidi about this back in 2015, then we brought the district calendar back in 2019, and then we just wrapped up with the four-day week evaluation again. We got to stop having this moving target, and we got to be consistent. If there's one thing that came out of high-performing districts, is they've been consistent, all right? They've been consistent with expectations. They've been consistent with leadership. PLCs have been through that whole process for almost 15 years, and that journey didn't see instant results in 2-3 years. You've seen it over a period of 7 or 8 or where we're at. So our journey is not going to stop with the recommendation here tonight. However, again, the expectations, and this is where the rubber hits the road tonight, is what did we see in high-performing districts? What were the identifiers that were different? And that's what we have in front of you here tonight. So either one of these motions could be interpreted differently with wording, but the result is when you go back to the summary page that I put in front of you, still the recommendation was the reduction of graduation credits from 28 to 29. That impacts Buffalo High School and Casey Ward.
28 to 29.
But the reality is, when we have that conversation, I feel as a superintendent, you have an obligation to look at all policies that impact graduation, okay? And let all stakeholders have an input on what those policies look like.
Absolutely.
And I think that's been very clearly stated through stakeholders and in some of the staff at BHS, is we got to be fair and consistent when we come across. Because it shouldn't be a target on Buffalo High School. It should be, what are we doing as a district? And since I've been here, that has been one of the other avenues that you've asked us to do, is this is a district and not individual silos. So if we're going to revisit something for one entity, we need to revisit for all, and that's kind of where we stand. Okay?
Yes. Additional discussion or thoughts?
So there again, I don't think everybody's clear, but here's what I see is if we pass this motion, Charles will still bring us back the information we need or the policies we need to change to reduce to a 24 credit graduation. He will bring us back his recommendation for KC. He'll bring us back his recommendation for New West. Correct?
Yes.
Wasn't set in stone by...
No, tonight is not set in stone, but policies coming, change in the future, will be set in stone.
Correct.
So you need to go with motion one before you go
correct.
With motion two, you're
correct.
Set in stone.
We're starting to tie hands.
Got it. I understand
and that
now.
Was correct with what you moved.
Just make sure everybody's on the same page.
I understand now.
We're on the same option.
No matter what happens tonight, the journey will ramp up tomorrow.
Okay. Other questions or discussion from the board? Everybody solid? Okay, all in favor of approving the Board of Trustees directs the superintendent to move forward to revise the JCSD1 graduation requirements and all policies connected with the graduation requirements. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Okay, that was unanimous. All right, next up, superintendent contract. So we wrestled around with this one earlier this year.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
I make a motion to continue with the 2-year rolling contract for the superintendent.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Discussion from the board.
I think it would be good. So what years are we talking about? I mean, I always get lost. So.
Okay, so.
What when we say 2-year rolling, so what we're at?
The contract.
Is it?
Under the
it would end June 30th at 27.
27 at present.
Not in the public areas.
And then we'll go. We will
because
revisit
the contract
this again.
Is in effect, so you're the contract at 25, and then 2 years after. That.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then we revisit
so
again.
You're correct.
Tell me again, Dave. Say it again.
So he presently is under a contract right now. It's 2024.
Okay.
And so this 2-year rolling contract would start in 25, 2 years is to 27.
Okay, thank you. I got it. Thank you.
So the reality is what we're starting to do is every November you'll be revisiting the superintendent's
yes.
contract. Because we were off track with...
Last year we skipped the November
procedures
thing.
...procedures and leadership governance. We approved this, and there were a lot of scenarios, but it's just getting into the routine. Every November you're going to revisit the superintendent's contract. we just wrapped this up, but this is far to following your protocol of where we're at, so it's really kind of a simple thing. We're just going to continue with what we've already done.
I think it's important. I think it's important to note that we've already discussed the goals, your evaluation, and everything. It's not like we're just glossing all that over.
No.
Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely.
Yes,
I just don't want people to think, oh, we're just doing this without out looking at the other parts of the
job.
Okay, thank you.
Which is part of what you just voted on tonight.
Yes. Okay, all in favor of approving the continuation of the rolling contract through 27, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Righto.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.